Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, the person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. Now, in today's gospel, there is this great parable about a sower and some seeds. And then there follows an explanation, you know, in case we fail to understand what was being said in the parable. Wouldn't it be great if life was like that? You know, if words could always be followed by an explanation, then we'd know what was going on. You know, when that voice on the phone, you know, assures you that your call is important to us. However, we are experiencing an unusually high volume of calls at this time. Another voice could just sort of cut in and say, "Thus saith the voice, you are the one who wants something. We are the ones who have it and don't really care if you get it just now, so you get to wait. You should have tried our website." Wouldn't it be great to have the true meaning of words revealed to us? When my wife says, "Of course you can buy that shirt, honey," you know, a narrator should follow with, "Hear the word of the patient wife. Of course you can buy that shirt. It's your money."
But you must never stand near me when you're wearing it, because it is hideous, and it makes you look like Ernie from Sesame Street.
No, it's not the way that life works.
Nor is it the way that the Bible works. The vast majority of biblical scholars, you know, Bible experts, they'll tell you that the second part of today's text, the explanation, was added to the text later on. It's not original. And they know that because of the way the language is used, all right? They know because of parallels to the other Gospels, and they use all sorts of expressions like hermeneutics and sits and Laban, and then they conclude like it just simply really doesn't belong in the original text. And I agree with them. But I agree for a much simpler reason. I agree because I know that parables are not codes. They're not some kind of secret teachings, right? I can't imagine Jesus standing behind the pearly gates asking me for a secret password before he lets me in.
Watch the door for a few minutes, and don't let anyone in without the password.
All right, what is it?
Swordfish is the password, do you understand?
Okay, I got it.
Well, what is it?
Password.
Swordfish! Swordfish!
Right, the swordfish is swordfish. Who are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Who are you?
I'm fine, too, but you can't come in unless you give the password.
Oh, what is the password?
Oh, no, you gotta tell me. Hey, I tell what I do, I give you three guesses. It's the name of a fish. You can't come in here unless you say swordfish. Now, I give you one more guess.
Swordfish. I think I got it. Is it swordfish?
That's it, you guess it.
Pretty good, huh?
Fine, you guess it.
Go ahead, Norman. Explain the parable. Okay, so let's see. The good seed, are there the followers? Shallow seeds. Oh, that'd be the Romans, and the pecking birds are the Pharisees. And swordfish? See, if Jesus wants you to know something, he has no problem telling you what he wants you to know. Don't judge. Don't throw stones. Don't worry. Turn the other cheek. Love one another. Jesus can be very direct when Jesus wants to be. But with parables, I think Jesus wants us to engage ourselves with the holy, to wonder for ourselves, to connect personally with the Word of God, the divine presence, the will of the one that Jesus calls Abba, Father. And in that engagement, well, there is great comfort and also challenge, personally. Now, I know folks who treat parables like riddles, and I get it. I mean, they figure out the specific meaning of the stories, and then they figure it out, they write them down, they put them up on a shelf. They find it comforting to have those things up there on the shelf, those solved and completed puzzles, stacked up with a bunch of other dusty, old, leather-bound volumes. But they're not challenged by them, as long as they're up there on the shelf, right? You see, real faith, the true value of religion and worship, comes not only in the comfort, the knowing how it works, but also in the challenge. And I have friends, as you probably do too, who eschew church, right? They tell me, as if I'm judging them, oh, no, I don't go to church. I like to spend my spiritual time, my holy time, in the only cathedral ever built by God. I walk in the forest, or the mountains, or by the ocean. It depends on where you live, right? And I do get that. I do understand what they're saying, because I have felt so close to God deep in the forest. I've hiked the Bruce Trail with my wife, and I've visited the Salt Springs in Vancouver Island, and I've watched the sun come up over the Atlantic at Cape Spear. I have felt calm and peaceful and completely surrounded by God in moments like that. Some folks will understand when I say that I have been in thin spaces, and it's holy and it's life-giving. But not particularly challenging. I've never had a great big wave or an oak tree make me rethink the way that I treat my neighbor. A glorious sunrise can still fill me with awe, absolutely, but it rarely demands or even inspires me to participate in justice. Now, the weakness is probably mine. I get it. But I need someone to tweak me every now and then, to challenge me to actually think. Or else I tend to enjoy the sunrise, find peace in the forest, and stay there, in the trees, by the ocean, with my parables and books all neatly shelved, blissfully unaware of my neighbors, my responsibility to community, or the new challenges and opportunities that emerge every day. So today I beg of you, let this parable challenge you. Let it comfort you. Whatever it means to you today, let it mean that, and let it mean something else tomorrow. You'll recall. Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Oh, so many things in that parable for me. Some days, I'm the sower. And I think that we all play that part from time to time, you know? We just don't know it. We don't know it because we didn't realize that we actually have seeds to sow. You know, we're just comforting a friend and wondering out loud. But the hand that we held tight at the right time was attached to a person who was forever changed by your small act of kindness. The thing that you said, the smile that you offered, never mind the preached words that I have spent hours, maybe days preparing, I have made a quiet remark to someone in the midst of a private conversation, maybe not even sure what I have said or what I have to offer is of any use, but it has had impact beyond my imagining. You have too. Seeds that we scatter. We all have seeds to sow. In 1975, I arrived at Bayview Junior High and found myself in band class because the typing class was full. I had no interest in being in a music class. We had to pick instruments. I picked the euphonium because it was the one instrument left. I picked last. I didn't want to be there. I don't just do one semester, get a good grade or any grade, and then take typing the next semester. That's what I really wanted. And then Miss McLean looked at me, and she said, "You should play the trumpet." I don't know why she said that. I was hardly a good bet to stick around, never mind excel in that, you know? I mean, surely there were more promising students. There were ones who actually wanted to be there and had some background, some history, some ability. Within 2 months, I was not only playing the trumpet, but I had a key to the music room so that I could practice at 7 a.m. and stay after school until 6 p.m. and just play and play and play. It changed my life. I wonder if Miss McLean knew what she was sowing that day. In 1988, I met Jean Olthias. She invited me to be on the editorial board of Seeds and Sowers magazine, a resource for children and youth ministry. Ministries that, honestly, I had very little interest in the late 80s. I have no idea why she asked. But over the next couple of years, I learned to write.
I found a connection to children and youth that has shaped me as a minister. And I learned how to tell stories without telling people what the stories mean. Kind of like Jesus and the parables. I wonder if Jean knew what she was sowing that day. When I hear this parable today, I hear the admonition, keep sowing. Keep throwing those seeds out there. You never know who's listening or who's waiting to hear. What do you hear? Listen. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. So they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Sometimes I'm not the sower, I'm the seeds. You know, tossed here and there. Sometimes on good soil, sometimes on hard soil. Sometimes I know that I'm in good soil. You know, my days go smoothly. I feel like I have someone singing harmony with me. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Brianne. Thank you, Jeannie. I'm getting things done, you know, and there's even time for me to snuggle with my granddaughter. Oh, good soil. Some days, it's not good soil. It's hot, it's humid. My wife is not particularly amused by me. Nobody is singing harmony with my atonal efforts. Prices have gone up again, and my granddaughter is visiting complete strangers. Now, I'm pretty sure that I'm the same guy. And I don't know what I've done to be tossed into the bad soil where I can't feel happy. I can't feel like I'm growing. I begin to think that the sower threw me there intentionally. The sower must hate me. The sower must want me to suffer. And then I listen to the parable again, and I'm reminded that seeds are not responsible for where they're thrown. There's no judgment on the seed revealed by the surroundings. Some wonderful people find themselves in great hardship, surrounded by those who will not listen, the weeds. Some not so great people have access and ability to help others learn and grow, but don't take it because it's not the soil they were expecting. Some seeds land on hard soil and then tragically get eaten by birds. Do you know what happens to the seeds eaten by birds? Well, they get deposited elsewhere, far from anyone's predicted soil. And sometimes they grow there. I keep this in mind on those days when I feel that the world is not on my side. Maybe, just maybe, I will be plucked up, and it won't be easy, but I will find myself in new soil. I keep this in mind when I meet folk who are asking for help, you know, financial help or spiritual help or social help. People who often dramatize their situation or simply make things up, you know, so that I'll help them buy groceries this week or get a bus ticket to Nova Scotia so they can visit a dying relative one last time. I mean, the details of their stories, probably not accurate, but their hunger, their pain, their fear is real. And their seeds, just like me, they just happen to be in that soil instead of this soil, and they're seeds like me. Listen. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And so they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But then the sun rose. They were scorched. They had no root, so they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. As I hear the parable, I think about the radical generosity of God. Right? I see it in the sower who throws seeds wherever they can. Sows it even in poor soil and weedy terrain. Who knows? Maybe it will grow there. Maybe the bird who picks up the seed on the hard soil will carry it to places I've never imagined. I mean, I won't give all of my seeds to bad soil. And I won't give all of my money to the one whose story doesn't ring as true as they ask for a little help. No, I'm not giving them everything. Or the one on the roadside with that sign looking for help to get to Nova Scotia. But you know what? If the sower can spare some seed for the parched soil, well, then maybe I can spare something for the Nova Scotia traveler who seems to be at my highway intersection week after week after week. Do you see why I don't want to know what the parable means? See, if I did know what it meant, well, I'm afraid that it would lose the power to challenge me when I'm buried in feasibility studies, you know, only wishing to share my love with the most deserving. Or it would not be able to comfort me when I'm feeling that the world is not being fair. Or any variety of things that it has said to me in the past and promises to say to me in the future. Listen one more time. Listen. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. Yeah, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. But other seeds, they fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Is there comfort in those words for you? Is there challenge? Did it mean something different to you today than it once did? If so, then you do have the ears to listen, and you have been part of the gospel today. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for parables, engagements, invitations to talk with you, to wonder and hear your word anew, to open our hearts and recognize you not only in the world but in our lives, inviting, challenging, comforting, sustaining each of us in the lives that we live today and the lives that we hope to live tomorrow. God, keep us engaged always. Let us always be open to your word, spoken anew in every moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We pray today for sowers and seeds. We give thanks for the sowers who do what they can to share their bounty, their wisdom and their treasure, their hopes, their efforts, their love. Those who scatter graciously all that they have in abundance and even what they have in limited supply, knowing that there will be more, and hoarding is never God's way. and pray for those who would share more, but their voices are not recognized. Their wisdom suspect, and their place at the table not reserved or even accepted. Each of us knows the tables to which we have been invited, and we also know the ones that we have protected and kept exclusively ours. And God, we lament and confess the times that we have refused to listen, to include, to respect, and to love. We pray for ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to open, that we might recognize the voices to which we have become deaf, the perspectives to which we are blind. And God, we ask to be unafraid to include those with whom we disagree. And God, we pray for the seeds of the world, ideas, hopes, people who find themselves scattered all about. For those on hard paths, we pray for relief, gentle rain, or even pecking birds to move us to better times and richer soil. A time when the necessities of life are affordable and the extras available. A night of falling asleep in peace and awakening with hope. Pray for those whose hard paths take them through hospitals and funeral parlors, down lonely streets and into lonely rooms. Whatever the path or the ground, may they know, may we know, that we are not alone. We pray for those whose enthusiasm may be greater than their ability to sustain. We pray for wisdom and courage to try again, for no journey is ever without a rest or recalibration. We pray for a deepening of trust, joy, and peace, a deepening of faith for us all, a faith that can carry us through the hardest times, shape a beautiful present, and imagine a glorious future. We pray for relief for those who find themselves among the thorns of life. May they feel your presence guide them as they go and leave behind that which does not give life. And we pray for ourselves and our thorns. For God, they are real, and we need your help. Loving God, we give thanks for the good soil, some of which we have cultivated, some of which we have been lucky to find, and all of which we can take for granted and not even bother to appreciate. God, let us give thanks for our lives, the people who scatter love and hope with graceful abandon all around us, the natural world that sustains and inspires us, the quiet peace that cannot be explained, but can only be treasured. Oh God, we give thanks. God, as we grow, let us sow. Let us share with the world what we have. Let us share your love. And together, let us all live in hope. Pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who invited us to share this prayer.
Go forth from this moment and out into the world. Be scattered. Grow wherever you find yourself. In good soil, in rocky soil, in new soil. Grow and know that you are loved by the one who sows the seeds. Know that you are engaged by God the Creator, by Jesus who walks with us, and by the Holy Spirit that absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Until we gather again, amen.